Mr. Vorster's real eight. Was the Antrim and the 3rd Cruiser Squadron at the Spithead Review in 1914?
Yes.
What do you remember about that? Did it make an impression on you?
It did, yes. The amount of men of war that belonged to the British Navy, and it was good to see them. And when the King came round, we was on all the ships was dressed, and all the crew.
What does that mean? Can you just explain?
The flags, right from the bow to the first part of the mast, to the second mast, and down to the quarter deck. And every ship was like that. And there was summer about 11 o'clock, I think it would be somewhere, and it was in the early, like the morning, that the Royal yacht came round, and we all fell in, had been fell in, waiting for her to come along, and had to cheer the Royal Lord as it passed us. Then, after that, we up anchor and back to Scotland. Oh, well, to Scapa Flow, really. It was the first time we went to Scapa Flow. Well, by the time we got up there, the war had been declared.
Had you been expecting war to break out?
Yes, we had.
Why? What had made you?
Well, with Germany, things wouldn't go very... They was all talking about Germany getting a big navy, and we'll have to have a big navy, and things like that they were saying. See, and on the day, we was in Scapa Flow, the night when we got it in the morning, we got there overnight, and in the morning, our Admiral Sir Charles Madden, he had everybody brought up, and he said to us about the war being declared, and he had with him, I always remember it, a case, and in that case was a white suit with blood all over it. And he said to us, he said, "Ship company, this is war, not what we've been doing playing around." He said, "This is war." He said, "I was wearing this when several men was killed." He was in the Japanese, Russian Japanese war.
He was an observer there.
Observer, yeah. Aye. Oh, and he was a nice admiral, he was a good man.
And what did you all do? Did you know, after you'd been told about the war and he'd shown you this?
Well, we had to make things properly. We had to prepare for getting sunk and then if any shells arrived, we had to be very careful that we didn't get near them if they hadn't exploded, and things like that we were told.
So you were given some lectures on what would really happen?
Yes.
Did you have to make any changes to the ship to prepare her for wartime?
Oh, no, just simply... The only thing we did more gunnery... because up in Scapa, as soon as we got up in Scapa there, a cold ship, get in provisions and things like that, then we go round what we used to say, go round the corner, go outside and then round, and there's a place where you could fire as many guns as you want there. You see, there was always a target, you see, and then come back again, and you knew what you was doing and how to shoot and all that sort of thing.
You were still on the 7.5 inch then, because it was just before your birthday. How accurate?
7.5.
How accurate were the ship?
To be very candid, we didn't use it much. They was told they wasn't to waste money on firing, because they knew how things would be going on. They now and again, they just would test a new gun layer.
So what did you practice firing with? Was that the
6-3-pounders? Now on top of you've seen the turret, haven't you? There was a thing. What would you call it? A metal, and it was connected to the turret in the attic, and this up here, and it was connected to the small gun, a 12-inch
12-pounder.
12-pounder, and they would practice that. You see.
So on the firing range outside Scapa Flow, you didn't actually practice much with the 6-inch and 7.5.
No, you had the.
You practiced with the 3-pounders.
Yes. And I mean, it was a hard job to get a hit on any target that was there.
Do you think it was the same technique you were practicing? So you felt confident you'd be able to fire the 7.5 just as accurately?
Yeah.
Now, just one point. Had you heard much about the traditions of the Royal Navy? Your training now was coming to an end as a boy. You were just coming up to August 13th, which I think your birthday.
I had been promoted before the war started.
What had you been promoted to?
Ordinary seaman. I wasn't 18. I was 3 months before I was 18. I was promoted done my work properly, and that had been noticed.
Well, were you a provisional ordinary seaman or just an ordinary seaman?
Provisional?
You just became an ordinary seaman in June.
In June, but I shouldn't have been till August.
Were you put into... Did you stay in the boys' mess deck, or were
no,
you were moved?
Moved into a men's...
So... How did life differ in the men's mess deck?
Much better.
Can you tell me about it? What was better about it?
Well, you know, you could talk and all that sort of thing as you wanted to. Not that I don't mean swearing or anything like that. But to talk about the guns and all that sort of thing. And incidentally, I hadn't told you that I was still smoking when I was there that day. I never stopped smoking for quite many years after the war.
Oh, I see, yes, right.
But I didn't drink. Never drunk at all. But I smoked. And, well, it wasn't enough, because all you had was an hour in the morning from the time you got up to 7 o'clock. I see, because it was 6 o'clock getting up then, instead of 5, what it used to be. 6 o'clock to 7. And that's your hammock up and all that thing. And then fall in and start working till 8 o'clock. And I used to I don't make a big job of smoking.
What did you smoke?
Those cheap players.
Oh, cigarettes?
Yeah, cigarettes. Yes. And after that
How did you get on with the men in the mess? I mean, you were a very young lad, touching up to 18.
I was the same as I am now. Hello, Bill. Old Bill. I wasn't old Bill. Hello, Bill. You all right, Bill? It's just the same now.
So you got on very well with them?
Yes.
Did they look after you as a very young lad?
I was always... I never had any trouble with them. Always looked after me and all that sort of thing.
How did they look after you?
Well, see if you was doing anything right, if there was any, when you became a man, you had done the job on your own, you wasn't quite certain whether you were doing it right or not. But they used to tell you that you were doing it right and all that.
Now, the daily routine doesn't seem to have changed much.
No.
It was still pretty well the same as it had been when you were a boy.
Yes.
Did you Did the messing arrangements change? Would you have to prepare
them? Oh, yes.
Could you tell me how they changed?
Well, it didn't change in what you had for a movie, but you sat down to it and liked it a bit better. You see, not so many members in the mess.
How many people would there be in the mess then?
There'd be the first one I was in. That was the end, like the first mess in the anteroom when I was rated. There was just 16 in the mess. Well, then it went on when the war started. We had about 18 or 19 then.
Would you have to prepare the food to go to the cooks, or did the cooks prepare it?
Well, yes.
So you would prepare it?
Yeah, I would have to take my turn as a cook. Make a pie, or if they wanted a pie, and if they didn't, they just ordinary boiled pudding or something like that. You learned a lot in this, in the Navy.
And that hadn't happened when you were a boy?
No, it didn't happen as a boy, no.
So what sort of food, you've said pies, boiled things, what sort of menus would you have? Would you?
I made meat pies, and then...
Who taught you?
Well, I don't know. More or less, I think I learned it from watching my parents. But somehow it came to me quite easily when I had to do it.
So you didn't have any problem with cooking?
No.
You'd just prepare it and then take it to the cooks, would you?
And he would put it in the oven ready, I think. But it was nearly always rock on the floor. A piece of rock on the sand, what they called a rock on the sand.
What's
that? Was a piece of roast beef on top of the gravy and thick gravies. Oh, well, they all had names.
Do you remember any others?
Hey,
do you remember any other names for the meals? There's a rock on the sand. Any others?
I can't think of them now. I shall think of them later on.
You tell me when you think of them.
Yeah.
Where did you get the food to prepare? You had to, the cook of the day, or
where would
it come from?
They took in provisions. And see, all you, at 5 o'clock of the night, meat was served out to the messes. And they used to say, hands of the mess for meat. And you went and got it, you see. If it was your turn as cook, you went and got it. And if you was lucky, you'd get a piece of the good roasting. But if you was unlucky, you'd get a piece that had to be cut up into to make either a pie or a stew.
What about the flour and stuff? That would be doled out as well, would it, to make the pastry?
Oh, you simply had to buy that. You see?
So you had a mess fund, did you?
Mess fund, well, yes. When you get, there was so much allowed you for mess, and that went into the mess, that what was allowed, you see. Now, as you wanted things like, I wanted flour and lard, I would take a chit to the place where you got it, and that chit would be how much it cost, and that would be sent to the the paymaster, and he would stop it out of our monthly pay, a food pay. Well, there's a lot of things to do.
Was the food overall of good quality?
Well, some of us could do it very well, and others let the blasted thing go bad. They're not bad, didn't know how to do it and all that sort of thing. He generally found somebody who'd never done any cooking.
What would they say to someone?
Oh, don't tell me. Don't I?
They'd still have to cook, though.
They'd still, yes.
How often would you be cook of the day? Was it cook of the day or cook of the week?
It did a week.
So you'd do it every 16 weeks?
Yes.
So it wasn't often?
Hey?
It wasn't that often that you had to do it. When you became So you were in the mess before you were 18. Hmm. When you became 18, that's just after the war had broken out. Was there any ceremony or any initiation? Or?
No.
I believe it was about this time you had your first drink and last drink. Was that then?
Yeah.
Can you tell me that story on the tape? Because that was before we put the tape recorder on. If you tell me what happened to you. It put you off alcohol for life, I think.
The commander said we could go ashore. And he'd rated me. He told me I was to be promoted. And that was like before my birthday, 3 months before my birthday.
Oh, so this is when it happened. It wasn't actually on your birthday?
No.
Okay, well, let's take the story from there then.
Oh, he said, now then, boy bosses says, you are being promoted with, he said, why? I'd had a good conduct, you see?
That was said, June 12th.
Yeah. So he said to me, you've been rated and you'll see the captain tomorrow. And I saw the captain, and the next thing was in the evening. Well, that wasn't quite, it was just, about 6 o'clock it would have been. My pal said, come on, we'll go ashore and have a pint.
Where were you at the time? Is it Scapa?
No. We were down to Weymouth. Down to Weymouth then.
Sorry, yes.
With the canteen there. Canteen. We was anchored in the bay at Weymouth and went ashore in the boat and going to see me when I come back. Anyway, it was on the canteen there. There is a canteen. Been there for years now at Portland. And as far as I remember, it's still going. And when I got on board, and I got on, onto the boat, I began to feel a bit funny, but then I thought, oh, it was all right. And then as we got a bit, and there was, you know, in Weymouth, you get a decent old roll with him. And when I stepped on the gangway steps, walked up, right in front of commander. Hey, have I told you his name? I'm very, very sorry. He got killed in the Second World War. Can't think of his name. Oh, Ludovic Kennedy. Commander Kennedy is his father. He was father to Ludovic Kennedy. And when he stood there, funny thing, he stood there, and the words he said, get a bucket and scrubber, and scrub that bee mess up. He said, and put yourself in my report on for tomorrow. Well, I did that. I cleaned it up. And in the morning, he said, I'm not taking you as a bad lad. He said, I'm not taking you. He said, just take my advice. He said, it doesn't agree with you. That wouldn't have happened if it had agreed with you. He said, now don't do it again. Well, I've told other people, I wonder if he was just pulling my leg like that. I went and had another half a pint of beer, and the same thing happened. I thought, well, he's correct.
Not on the quarterdeck this time, then?
No, not on the quarterdeck. No, it was before we got on board. Right.
So you gave up drink?
Yes.
Did many of them?
None.
Did many people not drink? I mean, was it quite common?
No, good man, no, not many of them. A lot of them had drunk, was always drunk and all that. There's always been, I don't know, I always say to them, devils are drunk again and all that. You know, I shouldn't say it, because, I mean...
Did you mind them being drunk? I mean...
Oh, well, I couldn't say, don't come here being drunk. And I used to say some of them, they were, don't make a mess when you get on board and all that, because that was when I would be a leading seaman or something like that, you see. Later on.
So you became 18 in August. Now, how had the war affected the routine as you start, you know, the war had started on August the 4th and you were up at Scapa?
Oh, we went all over the place. I didn't tell you before, just before the World War, when I was on the June, just before I was promoted, we was in Norway, Sweden.
Tell me about that.
I went to Norway, and we had to look out for ourselves. Now, I never went ashore, but always had to be prepared for anybody come aboard from Norway, such as our ambassador or anything like that. Then one day, before we left, the king came aboard and to church, and that's why I saw him. Then we went to Denmark, and I never went ashore to Denmark. You know, money was hard to get out there, and you could, I never wasted it. And some of them went ashore and got drunk and all that sort of thing, came and made blooming messes and all that. So I just simply looked out and saw places on land with a pair of binoculars and binoculars or whatever you call them. And, that's when I used to see it. I never went ashore. Either place is there. And then the king came aboard. And
which king's that? Sorry.
King of Denmark. King of Norway came aboard on one Sunday. Oh, and their son, the present king now, King Olaf, he dropped his Bible in the church. He wrote his Bible on the deck. And his father picked him up after the church, picked up and smacked his backside. He's king now. I've often thought about writing and telling him, and I saw him having the backside smacked there. Then we went on to Denmark. And the other two other ships had gone to Sweden. We went to Denmark. And it was a diplomatic cruise, diplomatic, going to Norway and Sweden. And they were not us, but they were sending the fleet. And
this had been in May, had it? May
1914. Yeah. And that's when they said, oh, come on, Bill, we'll take it. I said, no, I'm not going to show. And when we got back into the Weymouth.
That's when you had your drink, yeah. Mm. Now, what was the 3rd Cruiser Squadron's job? You were based at Scapa, were you, initially? What was this Cruiser Squadron doing, and what was the
patrol? Most of it was patrol. We was all everywhere. The four of us: Roxburgh, Devonshire, Argyll, and Antrim. Antrim was flagship, and the four of us always was together until one of them struck a mine, and she didn't sink her then, but it sunk her later on, after they dragged her off the rocks. Oh, that's
like that. What would a typical, so you were patrolling, this is separate from the Grand Fleet, is it?
Yes, you know that.
What would you do on a typical patrol then? You were patrolling the North Sea, I presume?
Yes. Sometimes we go up as far as Iceland, and sometimes over to Norway, round that way again, I believe, for patrol, and come back to Scapa. Eh?
How long would you be out for?
Well, it was mostly about 9 to 10 days.
And what would you do? I mean, what was the routine of with these?
Well,
cruises?
Looking out for submarines mostly, and because should a ship come along, we'd have soon known about it. But none of them came along, and
you never saw
a German ship at all.
Were you very aware of the submarine menace by now? Because the Hoag, Abbott, Keir and Cressy had been
well,
sunk.
Well, when the first week, submarine, we was off of it, known as Skagerrak, that was between Norway and Denmark. We was torpedoed a submarine, fired two fish at us, and both of them went miles away. One went under the ship and the other one went 1 mile ahead of the ship.
Were you aware of the danger, though?
Yes, we was aware of the danger.
What precautions did you take? I mean, what you didn't any, but I mean, what did the ship do? Were you zigzagging, or did you have destroyers?
Yes, oh yes, that was the proper one, zigzagging. That was, take you like hours to get along, a few miles zigzagging.
And what about, did you have an escort, destroyer escort?
No escort. No, it's just simply out of the four of us. We wasn't always together, right? One to be there and one over there and the other one there. That's it. And then when we had done our patrol, we'd join and go back into a scupper flow.
What was it like being on action stations during these patrols? Had you changed action station now? Because you'd be 18. Had you gone to the 4-inch or 6-inch, whichever
it was? You had to be careful what you were doing for the act. Like expecting action stations, you had to keep your eyes open on the guns. Because I didn't always stop on the 7.5. I was taken to one of the port side 6-inch. And we always had that.
You were loaded there as well.
I was never a gun layer.
And what did you do when you were on watch on action stations? How would you? Were you on action stations all the time when you were on watch?
Yeah, when you were good, yes. You'd done an hour, you see, an hour. Then you would come. You would go to lookout. You see, when look out for what they aircraft or anything like that, submarine, another ship, then you'd go on again to a telescope, and you could all have a look around that way.
So you'd have an hour on watch, lookout duty.
Yes.
What would the rest of the gun crew be doing?
Well, they'd all be doing something like that. They all got to look around.
So everybody was supposed to keep an eye on.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Was that not boring?
Hmm?
Was that not boring, looking out to sea all the time?
Well, it's getting, because all the, especially, you're looking out all over the part of the sea. And then you couldn't see anything, you see. Not like if it had been... you might see one or two of our own ships, or perhaps a trawler, but nothing, no big.
How would you recognise your own ships? Would you just know them?
Yes. Well, the first thing would be they would make a signal. Because as soon as it was sighted, the signal would be made, challenging them.
Now, how long were you on action stations for a time? Was it your normal watch system, but you were just always on action stations?
It was on watch 4 hours from 8 in the morning till 12. And from 12 till 4, then two hours, dog watch. You wouldn't do it. Both dogs, just one night, and you finish, and then that'll be your day. Then you start again next morning, and it gradually went round. You got it when you come to do the first go of an evening, 8 till 12, 12 till 4, 4 till 12, 4 till 8, and then...
And that routine carried on when you were patrolling?
Yes.
But would, when were you at action stations, or were you just...
Oh, no, always at action stations.
But just one watch?
One watch, yes.
So and the other watch would be asleep?
Or sleep, yes.
Would the other watch be doing their work as well during the day?
Oh, yes, yes. You see, there was still four watches. And the one watch is on, one ready to go on. One had come off, had been pure. They were having a rest, you see. And there was always one ready for working the cleaning of the ship.
So it was only really the watch that was on that was at action station.
Yes.
What would did you ever get called to action stations proper when everybody...
Oh, you went to your duty. You dropped whatever it is. You had brooms in your hand. You'd leave them there. And then you go to your gun or whatever it was. How did the...